This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
Well, I'm Mark Packer, along with my man Wes Durham, who is back from a trip down to Little John and around the world. So you got a little Smoking Pig all over you on the way down.
I did. I stopped at the Smoking Pig on the way in. I was rain and traffic pushed back my schedule. I was going to go and catch the end of the Clemson practice, and then rain and traffic on the way down 85 got in the way. So figured, you know what, I got 45 to an hour to burn here. So right there on the way in on the right.
Why not?
Went to the Smoking Pig.
Very good. Weekend good?
Yeah. Interesting, huh? I mean, we're first full weekend of college basketball in the ACC. We get seven games, and roadies go crazy.
5 of 7. And there were some great games.
Yep. Yeah, really good ball games and some weird, weird dynamics. I mean, what happened in Chapel Hill Saturday night is historical. But you can't qualify it because it just hasn't you don't know when the last time Carolina went 13 minutes without a field goal in a ball game at home to start a game.
Mr. First 15 shots.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
And then you have the dynamic of what Florida State did to Louisville, which I thought was impressive.
Tremendous game.
Duke was surgical at Coral Gables, by the way.
But you know what the best game, again, Virginia dominates Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Hokies can't throw it in the ocean.
Right.
But the best game of the weekend. I mean, Wake's down 16 in the first half.
22-6.
Beats Pitt.
Yeah, I watched the replay yesterday.
The best game of the weekend, though, was Notre Dame-Syracuse. That was a great game at the Dome.
The ending of the game yesterday, or Saturday rather, with Notre Dame and Syracuse, shows you why, and I think Jordan Cornette said this to us when we were back at Media Day, Notre Dame's got some pieces around it that, like, well, wait a second. First of all, you got a double-double waiting to happen every night with John Mooney. Then even Pfluger got hurt, but you get Prentice Hubb sticking shots. You get, T.J. Gibbs. You get guys who are in there, you know, making plays. I think what Dane Goodwin's done for them has helped, certainly. But, and then Syracuse is hitting shots.
Making shots. 33s were made in that game, 15 by each team, and there were some shots the last 5-6 minutes back and forth. That was just a tremendous basketball game.
Yeah, it was.
All right, we got stuff to get into. We're going to get into all the games. Obviously, we're getting ready for Clemson LSU 1 week from tonight. Thank goodness it's finally going to get here. We'll get 1 week of hype before we get rolling and get.
We already haven't had hype.
Oh, we've had hype. Okay. But, you know, I think the 2 weeks has probably been good for both teams, but for all of us talking heads, 2 weeks is a long time in between games. Really, it's almost 16 days. That's a lot. But we'll get into that game, obviously, today and every show this week. But we're going to throw something on you to start the show that you guys can chime in on this. At the 844-SAY-ACCN. And we mentioned Virginia beating up on Virginia Tech. Leonard Snally had 15 at the half. The rest of the team had 2, right? Virginia's defense was out of sight. They beat up on the Hokies. Virginia has now won 77 of their last 85 in the last 3 years in hoops. They are 77-8.
Total.
Total.
Not just ACC.
Total games. 77-8 in this three-year run. Clemson football in the last 6 years.
You've been doing math again, haven't
you? Is 79-7. All right. So here's the question for you to have fun with today. What's been a more impressive run? And they've both been fabulous. The Hoos going 77-8 over the past 3 years, given the status of who they play now. This is not just a wins and loss thing, even though it's amazing how similar the numbers are. Mm-hmm. It's who you beat in over a period of time. Obviously, Virginia's won a national championship. Clemson's won 2. Virginia's 77-8 over the last 3 years in hoops. Clemson is 79-7. Over the last 6 years. What's a more impressive run? 844-SAY-ACCN.
Well, you're really going to start it up on a Monday, aren't you?
Why not? I mean, Virginia's been unbelievably consistent. They have been almost in some respects, when you think of the league, you always think Duke, North Carolina immediately. But really, Virginia's been the one that's kind of setting the pace here a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right? And Clemson football is on another stratosphere versus everybody else in the league. And quite frankly, around the country, it's a short list. It's in the mood, such as Bama and Ohio State. But those numbers are unbelievable.
Is anybody else close in the college basketball game? I figured it's Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State in football.
That would be correct.
Okay.
I mean, Duke's been pretty good, but I mean, Virginia's number one here.
Right? I would say Gonzaga.
Zags are close.
Yeah.
But, all right, so where are we leaning on this? Again, you keep in mind who you play in the regular season and the tournament.
Look how close the numbers are.
It's crazy.
And by the way, obviously we double the, you know, we double the 1 year to the other sport because of the fewer games, and that's how they still very applicable.
But when I saw the Virginia number, I was like, you know what, the Clemson number in football's got to be pretty close. And sure enough, there you go.
Hey, here's the okay. Not devil's advocate here, but I'm just going to play certain angles.
Mm-hmm.
Two different sports, obviously. One requires 85 scholarships. You build depth. You got to have technically 44, two at each position.
Mm-hmm.
Second question would be basketball is an entirely different thing, although in this particular case, we're talking about a program that got old. Very unique in college basketball. Program gets old.
If you can do it, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. No disrespect to Duke and Kentucky.
No. And other programs are also playing that avenue as well. Virginia's ability to get old in basketball, I think, was their secret sauce in terms of just finding a way. That and the fact, elite coaching.
Both sides.
Yeah, no question about that. But I think Virginia got old in basketball, which helped them a ton. Clemson cycling the last 6 years is transformative to them for sure. And potentially transformative to the ACC, although that's another topic for me and Packer at some point this week probably, is that Clemson has now moved the bar in football to another level for the rest of this league. And now the league is,
well, if they win Monday night, maybe for the country. Because
right,
it becomes 3 out of 4.
That'll be 3 out of 4 and twice in the playoff system. I don't know because both had patience. Both administrations had patience. Football was going to take longer. Clemson got there earlier. They went to the Orange Bowl. They got smoked by West Virginia. They've been to the Peach Bowl, played LSU, as everybody noted a few years ago, with the Taj Boyd throw. I mean, all those things came into play, but their last 6 years have just been like bad.
And when you take inventory, I think you have to take inventory on who did you beat in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I think Virginia's regular season will be more impressive just because the ACC in basketball – is deeper and much better at the top.
Well, there are more games, though, too, right?
No. Well, I mean, the numbers are pretty similar there. 77-8, 79-7.
Right.
But I would almost make the case that Clemson's postseason has been better. When you determine who they beat to win titles, when you got to get to the college football playoff. I mean, just
but
in the last
different. They're different.
Well, that's where you got to, I mean, that's where you got to weigh the debate, in my opinion. I mean, for just take the last 2 years. Clemson's beaten undefeated Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Undefeated in the greatest team known to man in Alabama. And undefeated in the best team they've ever had in Ohio State. I mean, that's their last three playoff games.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to match up for Virginia's postseason? The comeback against Purdue, beating a pretty good Auburn team.
Oregon.
A scrappy
Sweet
Texas
Sweet
Tech
16,
team.
The Oregon.
I mean, that run to the national championship was spectacular.
Yep.
But quality of opponents versus what Clemson did in the last 2 years? I don't think so. I don't think college hoops is as good as it was 30 years ago. So you're not going to have necessarily the super great teams. I mean, that Alabama football team a year ago is the greatest Alabama football team ever. That's what I was told by SEC people. Best team ever in college football. And they're getting waxed by 4 touchdowns. Ohio State fans would tell you, you know what, this year – that was good the best team. Ohio State team they've ever had.
That's a good team.
Yeah, they're not good. They're really good.
Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
So my point is, when you try to do this debate, and I'm not sure there's a right answer, these are two unbelievably elite programs, Virginia Hoops, Clemson Football. But the numbers are uncanny, quite frankly, when you compare them the way we're laying it out there for debate today.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing you start drawing back to. Okay, what's the comparative and what's the difference? And the difference is Virginia bucked the trend of one and dones or you know, if you will, 18-month to two-year type programs by getting old.
Right.
And Clemson developed a competitive depth that's unlike anybody else's, with few exceptions. I mean, you could certainly say Ohio State has competitive depth. Certainly Alabama had competitive depth last year. But Clemson, in my opinion, is when Trevor Lawrence gets knocked out of the ballgame against Syracuse a year ago, Chase Bryce comes in and still makes throws. When everybody thought that Kelly Bryant being gone the week before was going to be, you know, oh, well, now they can't afford Trevor to get hurt. Bang, Trevor gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, Bryce takes him to the win. Would See, you, that competitive depth right there is a difference maker in college football.
Would you agree that Virginia's run in the last 3 years in the regular season matchups that they have to play versus what Clemson would see in the regular season over 6 years would be more difficult? I would say yes.
I think last year the ACC was really good in basketball. All last year's ACC schedules. I thought Florida State, Carolina, Duke in particular were good.
But just on a normal year. I mean, I know this year it seems like it's kind of lacking because of lack of star power and other things. But, you know, we're only, you know, 2 months in the season.
Well, we've played 24 conference games. I mean, we haven't played 24.
It's such a small sample size, you can't go crazy. But you can discuss the last couple years, Wes.
Yeah, I thought that last year's ACC was better than the previous. Well, back up. The last two ACCs have been pretty good. The last two.
And so what I'm saying to you is that, and I know it's an unbalanced schedule, but I would say Virginia's regular season has been more difficult than Clemson football's regular season.
Yeah, I know.
That's where I'm going.
You've been talking about that part, though, in relationship to our Florida State discussion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we're going to get into later on, too, and blow you away.
I think that, and I know we got Harry in South Carolina. I want to take this call.
You're not giving me an answer.
Well, I'm trying to think. I want to give you an answer, but I want to make sure I'm counting in my head what I'm – I think the basketball has been harder than the football.
I agree
Absolutely.
With that.
But the reason the basketball has been harder than the football is because the top of the league
– is better.
Has been better in the last 3 years
right.
in basketball.
Right. I agree.
Now, if you tell me this year's included in it.
Not going there.
Right. But I think that Carolina, Duke, Virginia Tech, Florida State, last year for sure. 2 years ago, I put NC State in there who beat Carolina and Duke.
Well, I'm not going to argue with it because I agree with
this.
But Clemson's postseason's been untouchable.
Clemson's postseason has been better. Like last year's Clemson postseason,
all of them
was better than Virginia's postseason.
Listen, Virginia's worst postseason was a 16 beating a 1, first time ever. Clemson's worst postseason would have been Kelly Bryant not being able to throw the forward pass in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this is a fun debate. Have fun with this one. 844-SAY-ACCN. We will take a quick call for the break. Harry in South Carolina, good morning. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I think Clemson's run is definitely more dominant and more impressive. Like Pac always says, I think you can just count the hardware to kind of be the judge. And not to mention one of those UVA 8 losses was a pretty historic one, and Clemson didn't really have anything like that. So thanks for taking my call, but I think Clemson is the answer.
All right. I mean, but, you know, there's a home loss to Pitt as a 24-point favorite. There's a road trip to Syracuse as a 20-some point. I mean, you know, everybody's got a glitch. Believe me, nobody's immune to that night, even though a 16 beating a 1 is a pretty big, bright light.
By the way, I was right. There were 24 conference basketball games so far. Home teams are 10-14. Crazy in conference play.
We'll get more into that. I think that's a fun debate, though. But it's amazing how similar the numbers are. Virginia 77-8. Clemson 79-7.
Yeah. Fun show. Debbie Antonelli, Trent Forrest, and Josh Pastner, Hoops guest today on Packer and Durham. And when we come back, we'll get into a wild weekend. Pax already told you, home team had no skin in the game.
Unless Wes Durham was on the call.
That's it. Clemson, congratulations. I brought you home tater luck. Carolina, nice win for Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll come back and get cranked up. Packer and Durham, it's a Monday, a week away from the Natty in New Orleans. Back after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM channel 371. Number for the show is 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. The dogs, by the way, Chester and Fuller, are sound asleep, but they are sporting the Florida State Seminole bandanas today in honor of Coach Ham taking on the road to Louisville and picking up a big W and making a statement. We'll get into all of that coming up here and accounting, which will be a complete, total disaster. I can assure you. Accounting this weekend after the results are bonkers. They're the boys, sound asleep. But they got the Noel bandanas on today. So a salute to all the folks down there in Tallahassee.
If you think they're asleep now, wait till 9:15. Fuller will be full tilt. That ball will be be told that if we don't throw that ball to Fuller, he's going to whine and bark and do what else.
About 8:45, he'll be ready for some you-know-what and it'll be go time. He got so wound up last Friday, we had to put him in timeout, put him upstairs in Mrs. P.
Yeah, you weren't doing very well here on the show last Friday.
I was still not doing very well. But we're getting.
You need to get it fixed. We are getting ready to go on the road for big shows.
I know.
By the way, you're going to have to be on
my wife.
You're going to have to.
You go to the doctor.
You're going to have to be on your best behavior down there.
That's my old stomping ground down there.
No. We are going to have our colleagues from Big ESPN, the SEC Network.
I got no problem with that. It's great. All for it. Got no problem with that whatsoever.
Josh Macri will be there with us.
Mm-hmm. Lumberjack.
So,
yeah, New Orleans.
You need to be on your best behavior.
New Orleans and Baton Rouge, my old stomping ground.
Yeah.
I used to work there.
I expect to hear, Mark is such a nice guy. I didn't think he was that nice.
Just take a call before somebody does get
hurt.
Those
are the kinds of things I'm expecting to hear.
Bentley in South Carolina is up next. Bentley, good morning.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show, and since it come out, it's a ritual in my house every day.
Nice. Well, appreciate
I'm calling about your question about past 2 years, who's better, Clemson and Virginia. First off, I will say that I'm not biased. I am a Clemson fan, but I think what Coach Ben has done in the past 2 years is pretty incredible.
Well, that would be true, but the question is Virginia's run over a 3-year period going 77-8, mm-hmm. and Clemson's run over a 6-year period. What's been more impressive?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm not taking away nothing from Coach Bennett, but I think what Clemson's done in the past few years is practically nobody else has done it. There's a reason for that. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do winning in any sport, but when you talk about football, you know, that's why it's kind of a hard question because you're talking about you seen Ohio State, that was a very tough game on your body and stuff, and you're talking about a different animal, I think. But overall, it's got to be Clemson. They've lost 2 games in 3 years, you know. They're going for their third national championship. That's hard to do in any sport, like I said. But football, it's incredible. I just don't think it's apples and oranges to me, in my personal opinion.
Bentley, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you watching.
It is a hard question. We told you there's really not the right answer here. You can spin this one however you want. But the point of it is the league has produced two unbelievable elite programs here. And they're more than that. But the run that Virginia's on over a 3-year period and what Clemson's done now here for the last half dozen years plus, spectacular. There's the only way to describe it. Spectacular, yeah. Western.
I think what you're talking about with Clemson is – and with Virginia, okay – I think with Clemson, you've got to go back and establish kind of the mile marker, if you will. Where is that? Where was that Rubicon? Where did the bridge that Clemson could have stayed on one side and yet they crossed?
A lot of folks would say it's LSU and the Peach Bowl. I mean, I know a lot of folks that would answer that question that way. When the night that they beat LSU.
Because it was the year after the Orange Bowl?
Well, it was a test. I mean, LSU pushed him around for a while, and then it was a great game going back and forth. Taj Boyd with a big pass, and Clemson wins at the buzzer. But that was kind of one that just kind of jump started. There'd be some folks that say it'd be Ohio State the first time Dabo beat Urban, because you do have to keep a notebook. He beat him more than once.
So
that was a great Orange Bowl.
It's not the West Virginia game where they lost.
I think the West Virginia game is one of the most important games in Clemson football history, because the 70 spot forced Clemson to do something with the defensive side of the ball and enter Brent Venables. And I think Brent Venables on Dabo's staff changed the entire complexion of their program.
Right.
They were a really good offensive team. That was never in doubt. I mean, the talent they were bringing in, the quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. But when Brent Venables showed up from Oklahoma over the next couple of years, they changed to become a very, very good defensive team. Now they're an elite defensive team.
And I'd
even go as far to say that not only did it take Clemson to another level, it also took Oklahoma to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, to me, is kind of like Clemson 7-8 years ago.
Right.
Great offensive team, great offensive skill, can score on anybody, but they can't tackle me. And when they get into big games, guess what happens? I gave you the number. They gave up 199 points in four playoff games. L.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I mean, there's a lot of teams that can score, but I think to win a conference championship, to win a national championship, to be consistent in the playoff and win games like the ones the Tigers have won, you've got to play defense, man. At some point in time, you got to tackle somebody and stop somebody.
Well, I think that the West Virginia game, to me, is where it changed. Likewise for Virginia, I would tell you the UMBC game changed things.
I don't disagree with that at all. That was their version of giving up 70. And that was a game in which people look at it and go, man, what a low point. Well, in some respects, you can look at it that way, but it was the most important point where, you know what, that's when you find out who you are.
Wins are great, okay? But losses reveal the stability and building of your program.
I agree with that. Entirely agree.
I mean,
that's true in life too, Wes.
No doubt.
You know, when things are good and you know, whether, no matter what you do for a living, if you're an insurance person or whatever, selling pizzas, ice cream, radio, TV, whatever, you know, when things are good, hey, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
But when things go bad, you find out who people are, man.
Right.
So I agree with that 1,000%.
And that part of it, to be honest with you, is I think that you're seeing with Clemson that they were always in this for the long haul. Okay? Remember, the guy's not supposed to be the coach. Let's be honest. 2008, when they get rid of Tommy Bowden in midseason, Dabo Sweeney's thought to be the stopgap to then Terry Don Phillips making another hire.
And every time I see Dabo's old press conference when he was hired, if you go back and listen to what he says, it's uncanny.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost frightening. It'll put a chill up your spine when you hear what he says, when you know where that program was at the time that he's making the comment. And says, hey, you know what? Decade coming up can be the best of all time. You're thinking, what is this guy talking about?
Right.
Has he not looked
at
the roster?
Am I buying what he's selling?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's never been a head coach. What's this dude talking about? Mm-hmm. And his vision of what was going to happen. And then he's telling everybody already, hey, man, the best is yet to come. Better strap it on. This guy's batting about 1,000. Just saying.
Red in South Carolina is next. Good morning, sir.
Yes. Good. I think that the last 6 years of Clemson tops the last 3 years of Virginia. And the reason why, if you look at it, the only bad game that Clemson played during these 6 years was the 24-6 loss to Bama a couple of years ago. Virginia got beat by, was it a 15 seed or 16 seed?
16 seed, Maryland, Baltimore County.
16 seed.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So I would say, hands down, Clemson's run in the last 6 years tops Virginia's run in the last three, even though Virginia has had a terrific run behind a great coach. But, and I'm not biased. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Are you a Clemson fan, Red?
I live 13 miles from Clemson. My kids went to Clemson. My grandkids went to Clemson. But I think Clemson, without a doubt, tops Virginia 3-year run, 6-year run.
Look, I think this is a wonderful discussion to have of success. I think we also are finding out that the idea of where the success is born is different because of the concepts of success in both sports. One, in basketball, it's a much smaller window because of the roster overhaul and turnover. Now, but when you take 6 years of Clemson, that changes the dynamic because you go through, obviously, four classes. And that's pretty big, too. I think it's an interesting discussion.
I think it's a fun debate. I would disagree with Red that he said really the one bad game was Alabama. Alabama that night, which, by the way, is the last time Clemson lost over 2 years ago.
Right.
Alabama was better than Clemson that night.
Absolutely.
Right. And I was at that game, and Kelly Bryant just physically could not make the plays that were deemed necessary to beat Bama that night, the way Bama was lined up to play them.
Right.
And again, no knock on Kelly Bryant. He's a wonderful person and wish him the best moving forward. But that they got beat by a better team that night, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought Clemson played poorly, like the Pitt game at home. They were sloppy.
I thought Syracuse at the Carrier Dome.
Syracuse on the Dome.
That's
that was
their worst
week.
ACC performance.
They stunk. In fact, Kelly Bryant got hurt that night.
Yep.
And that's not an excuse because they got outplayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's where I would have gone to make the comparison versus Virginia's 16 versus a 1.
Coming up more on this at 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll also continue to look back at the weekend in basketball. 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to having Debbie Antonelli with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Trent Forrest and Josh Pastner, Florida Power State Hour. And Georgia Tech in the Power Hour today at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, we got basketball for you here tomorrow night from the Sylvia O. Conte Forum, Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. ACC basketball presented by GEICO. Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee will be courtside. Number 19, Virginia's in town to meet Jim Christian's team, who's had a week off since the loss at Duke. 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Part of a doubleheader, by the way. Virginia Tech at Syracuse behind it tomorrow night right here on ACCN. When we come back, we'll talk ACC hoops. Cavaliers were impressive. Locked down the Hokies.
They did.
Boy, Duke. Cassius Stanley was outstanding. And the Jackets with a big win at Chapel Hill. All that and more coming up. Packer and Durham on a Monday. Good morning. By the way, we've gotten a lot of response one way or another over the last 3 or 4 days about the coaching picture from Grandfather Mountain. I mean, a lot of response.
Doesn't surprise me at all, Wes. You put me on any of them pictures, everybody wants to talk about Frank Hyde.
Later in this show.
Oh, do we have a picture?
Stay tuned for the final segment again today. Because the final segment again today features another picture.
This is unbelievable. I stumbled across this picture this weekend.
This is called a tease, by the way. We're not showing the picture.
Okay. But if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see it.
Yeah.
I ran across a picture going through a bunch of old scrapbooks this weekend working on another project.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God. So I answered it when I saw this. I said, we have got to use this on the show. So we're going to do it today during the final segment of the program.
Right.
And it involves some legendary figures in the history of the game of basketball. And I mean legendary figures. And this is an old black and white photo that's yellowed because it's at least 50 years old.
It's at least as old as that daggone photo we ran of the football coaches.
Yeah, and this one, and why I have it, I have no earthly idea. But when I saw it, I did a double take like, oh, my God.
And after having seen it this morning, it is stolen property.
Well, I don't know why I have it.
Well, it's stolen property, and we're going to return it to its rightful owner.
Oh, it definitely will.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not supposed to be mine.
No, not at all.
But we're going to air it today because it does have an ACC influence and, ironically, an LSU influence, which is kind of apropos, giving what's going to happen a week from tonight.
Yeah.
But stay tuned.
coming up basketball, but first more calls on this topic. More impressive, Clemson the last 6 years, Virginia the last three. Shane in Virginia, welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm a big Wahoo fan. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I was definitely UVA. I would like to touch on the subject that I think it's harder to recruit in basketball than it is football because you have over 300 teams that are.
Sure.
And you got like, what, 130 in football?
Well, I think the recruiting aspect is an interesting part of this discussion. And I'm going to offer this to you, Shane. I think the recruiting aspect part of this that most intrigues me is Virginia's success of 77-8 over the last 3 years can be part and parcel explained because they got old. And not many teams who have continual success in college basketball get old. It's just the way it goes.
Let's also understand the way Tony Bennett recruits. I mean, he's not been one of these guys that is loaded up on five-star McDonald All-Americans. I mean, not that you don't have really, really good players, but he's done a brilliant job, he and his staff, at developing guys and fitting the way they play.
That's right.
I mean, their approach is polar opposite of what Mike Krzyzewski or John Calipari could do. And you know what? All those guys have had ridiculous success. So, you know, I think Virginia, the way they've gone about their business, to me, has been brilliant. And in some respects, given where college hoops is and when people trying to get old, they kind of are ahead of a curve a little bit, in my opinion.
I think
they've gone about it.
And to be honest with you, Shane, one of the things I respect about both these schools in this discussion with these sports is that both have been to the bottom and come back.
Right. They've seen it.
And I think the bottom for Clemson was the Orange Bowl, and the bottom for Virginia was UMBC.
Mm-hmm.
I find it to be fascinating. Let's go to Tyler, also in Virginia. Tyler, welcome.
What's up? Good morning, fellas. Happy Monday to you.
Same.
I'll be the one guy that calls in and defends Virginia on this argument. I will say, obviously, you got to look at what Tony Bennett came into when he came to Virginia. The program was in shambles. I mean, they would talk about being a bottom feeder because that's what we were. And to see what he's done with that program and to build it to where it is today is phenomenal. I mean, if you would have asked anybody or said that, you know, Virginia's going to win a national championship in basketball after this guy was hired, they would have thought you were crazy. And you look at Clemson, Clemson's always been a football school. They won a national championship in 81. Virginia had only won one ACC tournament. One. And this guy, to do what he has done, and I will say, you guys said the UMBC loss was the turning point. Yeah, that was a huge turning point and allowed those kids to come and play the season that they played last year and win the title. But if you go back a few years prior, that year when we had Joe Harris and Akil Mitchell and some of those other guys, and we won the ACC tournament, we got shellacked by Tennessee on the road that year. And after that game, we went on and just totally dominated the conference, won the AC tournament, lost in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State. But that loss was a turning point. And you just look at the numbers. Both runs have been incredible.
Let me ask you real quick, Tyler. You're talking about the 2013-14 year, right, when they went 16-2
yes,
in the league? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty interesting. It's an interesting note you bring that game up. And by the way, thank you for the call. That was well thought.
And I think another point going along Tyler's thought here is that everything he said was right in a sense, but even more importantly, Tony Bennett had to build a program against Mike Krzyzewski, what was already established at Duke, Roy Williams, what was already established at North Carolina.
Right.
And then you throw in the mix that Louisville has now joined the league. And in fact, he had a Hall of Famer in Jim Boeheim, who, by the way, brought some pain and misery to Virginia in the postseason. So, I mean, that's why I keep going back to the reason I think this is a fun argument is because I think Virginia gets tested more often in the regular season in hoops in that 3 year period than Clemson would in football. But I think the postseason is the difference there.
Yeah. No, I agree. By the interesting note about his conversation, that 30-7 team in 2013-14 that lost to Michigan State in the Garden in New York.
It's a great game.
Yeah, and that was the first time Virginia felt like they had kind of turned the corner and then took that loss, right? So they went 30-7 that year. They came back the next year.
But, you know, Wes, prior to – I think the losing to Syracuse to me before the 16-1 thing happened.
Okay.
When Virginia lost to Syracuse, the way they lost to Syracuse.
Okay.
To me, that was one that stung because you got a sense – even in that game, hey, Virginia's in control of this thing, and they're going to get to the Final Four. Tony Bennett's finally going to get to the Final Four, and Jim Boeheim in that 2-3 zone, and they get on a run, and you know people didn't know if they should even be in the tournament, and here they go. They're going back to the Final Four. To me, that was the one that felt like the stinger to Virginia before we saw 16-1.
I was sitting here going through this because
now Virginia fans may disagree with me on that, but that's from an outsider perspective.
Right.
Watching Virginia develop into what they've now turned into.
Sure.
Not only within the league, but nationally. That was the one game that you're like, man, I'd love to have those last 10, 12 minutes back.
They went 32-4 in ACC play. From 2013 to 2015, those two seasons.
I mean, they've been a – hey, they have been a standard. I mean,
and you would have thought –
talking about Duke, North Carolina. Hey, you better look up Virginia. Pay attention.
Well, you thought that was good until the last 2 years when they went 33-3.
That's what I'm saying. They've been fantastic. Makes for fun debate, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We don't really want to get people stirred up. This early on a Monday morning.
But I mean, you've done a good job. You've done nice work.
But you just want to kind of like ease into the week.
You're not doing that.
But I thought the numbers were intriguing, given how great Virginia basketball has been over an extended period of time. And same thing with what Clemson football has done.
And you want to know what's getting ready to happen? You're getting ready to cause a real problem.
Our worst nightmare is about ready to happen.
Yes, it is.
And let me tell you now, I'm the idiot that thought this was a good idea.
Yes, you were.
And I started doing this yesterday. Actually, I started doing it Saturday, and I did it in pencil, and I just kept going after every game.
I solved that problem.
Oh, my God.
I solved that problem.
Well, you start – well, not really. You know what? Not really. I'm going to tell you why. Because Clemson beat NC State without their leading scorer, which, you know, part of the deal.
I hear what you're saying.
But that was a precursor of what was getting ready to happen.
Correct.
When it really got goofy is where I had Georgia Tech ranked before that game started.
Old Wes set the table for you, didn't it?
The accounting is coming up. Watch out. This is not going to be pretty.
No, and there are going to be a lot of people like...
upset.
What are you people doing?
Right.
I got it figured out. Take a break. 844-SAY-ACC, and I got it figured out.
I can't wait to see what yours
looks
like. Yeah,
you watch this. You boys have been making fun of my math now for a long time. Getting ready to show you how good my math is when we come back. Thanks for being here, by the way, on a Monday on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and, of course, the ESPN app.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app. And, of course, you always have us on Sirius XM Channel 371, the ACC channel. All right, this is going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It is not going to be pretty. People could get injured, so we tell you that ahead of time. It is time for accounting, and given what happened over the weekend, in which the ACC home teams decided to roll over and play dead, this is going to be goofy. And when you see where some of these teams are located, I can't speak for Wes because I have no earthly idea what his looks like, but I guarantee you're going to scream at mine. So before you scream at me, come up with your 15 and then scream at me. All right.
In order.
In order. That's right. You can't just slap them up there because these are even when I finished it, I looked at it and I went, yikes, this just doesn't even look right. But here we go. Time for accounting. I'm going to lead. Numero uno stays the same. That's Duke. We have a new number two. Florida State makes a statement. Anytime you win at Louisville, you're jumping them. Cards go to three. Virginia moves up by beating the daylights out of Virginia Tech, squeezing the life out of them. NC State, boys, you guys continue to absolutely drive me crazy. But you know what? I kept you at five. Yeah, you lost at Clemson. It's not a good loss, but you didn't have your leading score, and that's not an excuse. I keep you at five, barely. Now it gets totally crazy. It gets downright stupid. Georgia Tech, I know they're 7-7, but you know what? They've won at NC State, they've won at North Carolina, and they're starting to get healthy. By next week, they could be 13 for all I know. But this week, they're 6. And I can't, again, for the life of me, I know we have Josh Pastner later on.
They played Duke this week at home.
Well, I mean, you know what? I don't like their chances there, but they've yet to lose on Tobacco Road. But nevertheless, Josh Pastner will join us later. They're 6. Yeah, you see it there. 7. Wake. I mean, I'm telling you, if you asked me a week ago, I'd have had Georgia Tech and Wake 13, in the double 14, digits.
13-14.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Wake down 22-6 on the road at Pitt. No problem. They beat Xavier, suspended two guys, and still winning games. Pitt's 8. Don't know why.
Take a break.
Don't know why they're 8. Still love their backcourt. The mystery team is North Carolina. Who are these dudes? What are they doing? When's Cole Anthony getting back? Can anybody make a shot? They look like a bad YMCA team for the first 15 minutes against Georgia Tech. BC is 10. I know. I watched them. I watched West Durham with DeCall. BC was getting beat by 100 to Duke. And I finished it out. I said, they're 10th. The only reason I got them 10th is because Notre Dame's 11. And they beat Notre Dame on the road. I don't think they could do that again, but they did. And by the way, Notre Dame-Syracuse game was awesome. Hokies dropped a bunch. I was disappointed in that effort. I mean, I know you can shoot, but goodness gracious. 39 spot? Nah, they ain't going to get it done. Miami's 13. Duke was unbelievable the other night. Wore them out. Syracuse, I know you're better. I know. Hey, I don't think there's 13 teams better than Syracuse in the league. I got to put you somewhere. Clemson, I know you got the win. You're still 15. By the way, for the record, every team in the ACC has one conference win. The Big Sky, the Horizon, and the Sun Belt are the only other leagues that can make that claim this early into the season. Everybody's got a conference win. I'm not proud of it. I don't even think it's accurate. That's the best I could do after all these crazy losses over the weekend. All right, West Durham, I can't wait to see it.
All right. First of all, I'm going to ask for silence from my partner here as this is revealed.
Am I not allowed to say a single word?
Not yet.
When can I say something?
Well, because I did something here yesterday that I want to discuss. There's a mathematical application.
Oh, you and mathematical. Goodness gracious. I'm not going to say a word until you tell me.
Mathematical analysis. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
You know, it's a branch of math that deals with limits, related theories, differentiation, measure, infinite series, and analytic functions.
Which is everything you're not very good at. Now, I'm not going to say another word. Go for it.
Okay. My top four are Duke, Florida State, Virginia, and Louisville in that order. Now, let me tell you something. There is a group of teams that I think are different than another group of teams. But you asked me to put those teams in order. There is no possible way to put NC State, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh in order. Now, by the way, you and I have crazy differential between where you put Boston College and where I put Boston College. I think that's right. No, let me look. Double check here. Notre Dame. You and I have put Notre Dame in two different places. Okay, because I think Notre Dame is in the group behind the four. You have them in the group that's deeper than that. That group of five on the back end, six on the back end, if you will, BC, Carolina, Wake, Syracuse, Clemson, Miami, there is no identity with those basketball teams. The other ones, fives, I got an identity. I know what you are, healthy, I know what you are, and I think you might be pretty good. But you don't have any continuity. Tell you what Georgia Tech did the other night. Georgia Tech did not allow Carolina to come back in the game when Carolina woke up. Georgia Tech played with some moxie in the second half. Now, Carolina can't shoot. That's why they're in the sixes. This is an interesting Carolina team in so many ways. It is a frustrating Carolina team for Carolina fans. And I'm afraid it may get worse before it gets better, but I do think they're capable of playing good basketball. The back end, those teams at six. BC, no Nick Popovich. Carolina, no Cole Anthony. Wake Forest, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me, Wake? Seriously. Syracuse, I don't have a feel at all for Syracuse. I'll see one game where they play good, beat Georgia Tech by 60 in Atlanta. Elijah Hughes goes off, has a big night. And then I get a game, quite frankly, they should have won the other night. They should have won the Notre Dame. It's a great finish, as you said earlier. They should have won. You can talk, by the way, now. They should have won the game the other night. Clemson, I saw Clemson in person. That was a good win, but NC State didn't have C.J. Bryce. Hard for me to value that higher than Miami. I'm sorry. I just don't think they've got any inside punch right now. That's what concerns me. Outside of Chris Likes and Cam Augusti, I'm not sure where Miami can go get a bucket when they need it. That's it. That's all I got for you. I went with mathematical analysis.
Yeah. You know what I'd call it?
Sitting on a fence.
BS is what I'd call that. I mean, what is it? A's and B's and C's? You got to rank them.
I did rank them.
No, you didn't.
I did. I took three groups. Actually, I took four teams at the top who I have the most confidence in. Then I took that group at five and ranked them in that pool. And then I took a group at six and ranked them in that pool. That's why you have A through F at six and A through E at five. And I think there's a difference between five and six. This is hard to do, man.
Which five are you referring to? 5E or 5B? Maybe it's 5A or 6C.
I think 5B is better than 5E.
What are you doing over there?
I'm telling you, I think 5B is better than 5E. And all the fives can beat the sixes.
Hey, can somebody get Joe Lenardi on the phone and break down Wes's bracketology here? What in the world is this nonsense? I'm looking at it right here on the screen. So, Wes, My math game has been beat on so bad. Who is the 15th worst? Who's the worst team in the league? I'm just going to ask you a simple question.
Today, I don't like Miami. I think Miami is the worst team in the league.
All right. Then they beat Clemson in overtime on the road last week.
I know they did.
Okay.
Pack, everybody in this league, if you think we can surmise any kind of excellence out of what we're seeing right now to grade one higher than the – it's impossible.
It is really – we are take the sharp objects out of the room.
I mean, we've done something here – I know we got four good teams in this league, and that's all I know for sure.
And NC State fell out of your best four, for sure?
Without C.J. Bryce, yes.
But they're going to get C.J. Bryce.
Okay, they get C.J. Bryce back, and they return to form the NC State that played at Auburn and things of that nature, then I'll move them back up on that line.
Where would you – is Virginia Tech a single-digit or a double-digit team today in the league? Virginia Tech. Or are they like 7L? I mean, you know, talking to you doing accounting is like me looking for my seat on American Airlines. 38F. Oh, excuse me. Could you please move out of the way, Georgia Tech? You're in my seat. 38F. What are you doing? Come on, man. Like, where's Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech is 5C.
Is that the first class? No, that doesn't. Not on your plane? I mean, is Georgia Tech one of the six best teams in the league today when healthy?
Yeah, they might be six or seven. I'm not going there. This thing is out of control, and it's January.
Well, I love doing it.
This is out of control in January.
And it would be funny. Here's the funny thing about accounting. Is as we speak, I guarantee there's somebody at home watching or somebody listening to us on SiriusXM that goes, these two idiots, I don't even think they watch the games. And we're gonna get bombarded with email, text, whatever.
I mean, Twitter. I'm going to have Miami and Clemson people, who were all very kind to us about our show, by the way, on Saturday, go, hey, boy, I don't know what they're doing.
They will. You get this. I was like, "Oh, you, do you even watch games?"
Right. Yeah,
I do. So before you comment, come up with your 15, and then you can say, "Hey, listen, I think you're wrong about Team X, whatever it may be." Like for example, if you watch Notre Dame Saturday, Notre Dame was terrific.
Yes,
I mean they were really good.
Absolutely,
and so was Syracuse.
Yep. But my concerns are, how do you take their body of work to date?
That's the thing.
And that's the hard part. And right now, what I saw Saturday night from Miami, yeah, I know they won a road game at Clemson. I also know Clemson didn't play very well. Clemson self-destructed, unforced errors, all sorts of things in the last 5 minutes of that game.
If Syracuse and Notre Dame give me, moving forward, the effort and the ability to shoot and play like they did Saturday at the Dome,
yeah,
those two teams can win a lot of games. I mean, a lot of games. But you know what? We've seen Syracuse score 34 against Virginia, lose. We've seen them score 97 on the road and win. We've seen Notre Dame lose at home to Boston College. Makes zero sense, man.
None of this works.
Counting is so hard to do.
But we're here for you on Mondays.
8C. 8C. Miami, you please move out of seat 8C. West Durham going mathematical on us on accounting.
All right, we got to go to hour two. We're running late, very late on this show. The Lumberjacks are not happy.
Doesn't surprise anybody.
By the way, we haven't heard from the boys on the Monday yet. All right, hour two, Debbie Antonelli going to join us. Also coming up 1 week from tonight, you may have heard, the college football playoff national title. How does Clemson slow this crowd down? Tiger fight in the Louisiana Superdome. We'll talk about it. Hour two of